Today's gospel, as I was reflecting on it this week, reminded me that the story that Jesus is telling today is kind of a paradigm for the spiritual life, a paradigm for the relationship between the soul and God. And Jesus gives us that relationship in the form of the story of the father and the two sons. The father who says, "Son, go into my vineyard and work." And of course, we see the two very different responses. And it was not the words, but it was the deeds that determined who actually did the father's will. And it occurred to me, as I was reflecting on that, that in this story, what we're really learning about, if you didn't know it, was airplane safety. Okay, airplane safety. What is airplane safety all about, and what does it have to do with the story? Well, if you've ever been on an airplane, you will know that before you take off, the flight attendants go through the airplane safety video and the demonstration. And what happens? They tell you how to buckle your seatbelt and look at the safety card and the seat backing in front of you. And if they have this really interesting point where they say, and if the air cabin pressure changes, which of course is code word for if the air gets sucked out of the cabin, don't freak out. But there will be masks that come down, and you need to put your mask on. And they say, pull the strings this way, and the oxygen will be flowing, they tell us, even if your airbag doesn't inflate. And then they say, and if you have small children, put on your own mask first before putting on your child's mask. Very wise, because of course in a situation like that, if your airplane suddenly loses cabin pressure, you have about 7 or 8 seconds before you pass out due to lack of oxygen. And so you need to take care of your oxygen. And if you don't do that first, you're not going to be helpful to the people around you. In fact, you're going to become a burden. And so what is airplane safety all about? Airplane safety is about the truth that we are first responsible for our person, that we have to know how to put on our buckle. We have to know how to, duck and cover if we have to. We have to know how to put on our mask. And we have to do that for ourselves first before we help other people. You see, in today's gospel, when Jesus is talking about this story, it is a relation to our spiritual life that the Father calls his sons and daughters to work in the vineyard. And the first vineyard that every one of us has the responsibility to work in is the vineyard of our own souls. We have to attend to our spiritual lives first before we can attend to anybody else. Because if we don't, not only are we not going to be helpful to the ones around us, we're going to become the burden. This has been a point that the Lord in my own life has been impressing upon me a lot recently, really over the last year. And as I was kind of walking through that story in my own life, I was led to a passage in a book that I received from my spiritual director that speaks about this very reality. It's a book called The Soul of the Apostolate. It's a book about the interior life. It's a book about the spiritual life. It's a book about what does it mean for us to have a relationship with God and to take care of our own vineyard first. And I was punched in the stomach a little bit by something I read this week that I think, in context of today's gospel, makes a whole lot of sense, especially for us who are here on Sundays, who seek to live a life of faith, And yet it's not always clear to us how it is that we're supposed to live that life. In what order do things occur? And in what importance are we supposed to place first? And so in this book, it was written by a French priest. He quotes a Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, who was this really great medieval saint of the 13th century during the Middle Ages. And he says this. He says, everyone knows that saying of Saint Bernard to the apostle, if thou art wise, thou wilt be a reservoir and not a channel. If thou art wise, thou wilt be a reservoir and not a channel. The channel lets the water run off without holding a drop. The reservoir, on the contrary, is first filled, and then, without getting empty, pours forth its overflow on the fields it fertilizes, and thus it is constantly renewed. How numerous are those men devoted to good works who are never anything but channels and remain dry themselves when they are striving to produce grace in the hearts of men. We have many channels in the church today, but very few reservoirs. And I thought in my life, wow, how true is that? You see, the truth of the story is that it was the first son who did the will of his father. And why was it that he did that? What was it about his choice that accomplished the father's will? We don't necessarily hear it very well in the English. In the English, the story goes that the son said in reply, I will not, but afterwards changed his mind and went. You see, the more literal translation of that phrase is actually this. He said in reply, I will not, but afterwards was moved by repentance and went. So there's a real truth to be gained there in our lives, that in order for us to do the Father's will, we simply don't have strength to move ourselves there, to tend to our spiritual lives alone, to accomplish airplane safety in our lives. We have to be moved by something oftentimes greater than us, and it's in its movement of repentance, of thinking again, thinking anew, seeing it differently. We might think that it is a selfish thing for my spiritual life to be all about me. But it has to be about me first. Because we have to have mercy on our own souls before we can have mercy on anybody else. Which means that if I don't attend to my life of prayer, my life of grace, my relationship with Jesus, I can't accomplish the Father's will. I can't do it. Because I need to do it in my own soul first. And if I find myself struggling, as I often find myself struggling, to be faithful, I simply need to be moved by something that's stronger than me, that's above me. I need to be moved by the grace of repentance. Principally for me, the repentance of thinking that I can do it on my own, and remembering again with humility that it is a strength beyond me that empowers me to be faithful. So maybe think about that this week. Think about that in our lives. Where am I in my life of faith? Where am I in my walk with God? What's my instinct? You know, as Christians, we think our instinct is to put myself last and put everybody in front of me. And that's true, but only after we have done duty in our own souls first. We have to bring salvation into our hearts before we offer that to our brothers, our sisters, to the world that needs it so badly. And in this way, being moved by repentance, being moved by grace, only then do we accomplish the Father's will.